Welcome to Analytics of Dynasty, a daily podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are flipping over to the wide receiver position, looking at teams that were above expectation or at the high end of expectation in terms of receiving scoring. And there's some interesting trends in this one. So Buffalo's number one. They do run a ton of three wides. So that's part of it. Expected for 50 points per game. Underperformed, 44.6 points per game. So that actually ranks them, when you actually look at where their team ranks in actual points per game, it's third. They were 11.9% under expectation. That is 24th relative to expectation. Well, where does some of that loss come from? Well, three of the top four wide receivers on the team underperformed expectation. Do you want to guess the one that performed over expectation? Gabriel Davis. And Stephon Diggs, 13-11 was his expectation, and he did 12-25. 840 was the expectation for Cole Beasley. 693 really fell off last year. Emmanuel Sanders, 680, did 626. So again, he fell off about 10%. And then Gabe Davis, 525 is his expectation. 549 was what he did. That's 5% over expectation. So you can poke a lot of stuff. Again, there's reasons why different guys have different expectations. I think some of it's quarterback play. I think some of it's probably scheming, right? We see this with some good quarterbacks are held under expectation in terms of points in ways that you'd be kind of surprised about. And that's maybe some of the stuff with some of the yardage as well. But interesting that Davis is the only one, right? So that performs above expectation on this team. So I think it's an interesting, you know, if you look, hey, why is he elevating and the like? Well, because he actually performed pretty well. And you look, he didn't run a ton of routes, but Beasley was targeted on 21% of his routes, Davis 18, 24.5% of Diggs's routes he was targeted on. So, you know, maybe there will be more. And I know there's been some work done on some three, you know, the effect of three wide receivers as well, in terms of how that can impact the rate at which people are targeted and the like, that changes a bit in terms of some of the route stuff. And maybe that could explain some of the Davis stuff in terms of his targets per route run and the like. But even you look at him, 64th percentile last year in terms of performance, and at a much cheaper cost than the other guys who weren't really outperforming him. You say, interesting. Okay. He above expectation, 67th percentile in terms of yards per route run over expectation. And so that's, you know, a pretty good number. Diggs was fifth in terms of expected points, 10th in terms of points per game. So I still think there's some growth potential for this offense. We talked about it with the running backs. There's easy stuff that they can do, I think, that can make this offense better, which is pretty scary considering they were number one in terms of expected receiving points. Okay, number two is the Rams. And when you look, Cup is a big factor in all this. They were expected second, 47.9 points per game was their expectation. 52.2 was their actual performance. That's number one. They were 8.5 over expectations. That's good for fifth. Cup, expected for 14.41, performed 19.47, massively over expectation. He was over expectation by 4.3 points per game. So again, that's a big number. When you think of that, just put that in wins for a second, that's a half a win over expectation per the entire season. That's an enormous number there. Woods performed over expectation. Van Jefferson right at about expectation. And I'm sorry, Wood, Van Jefferson was right at about expectation. It was just slightly over expectation. He had 776 expected yards, 802. And then it was Woods at 555 expected yards, 556 actual yards. So right at about that number. Woods was expected for 15 points per game, performed 15 points per game. Again, remember, it was an injury-shortened season for him. But I think as you look at a situation like Allen Robinson, you start looking 556 for Woods, and you sort of blend that in with the arrival of Odell Beckham Jr., who went for about 700 expected yards, and all of a sudden, again, I don't think they're a perfect combo into one person, but there's plenty of opportunity for a 1,000-yard season there out of Allen Robinson, I think is probably the big takeaway from this exercise there. So, and Matthew Stafford's really good. Number three, Tampa Bay. They were expected for 44.2 points per game. So you just think of that. That's almost a touchdown less per game than what the Bills were. So just to give you an idea of how far ahead the Bills were in terms of expectation, really, really high. Godwin just above expectation. Mike Evans pretty significantly above expectation, about a half a touchdown per game above expectation is kind of the way you look at it. He was expected for 8.8 touchdowns. On the season, he performed 14, so that's notable there. They were second in terms of actual points scored, so 47.7 points per game, and that is 7.4% over expectation. That's good for sixth. When you look at it, they had three guys that were expected for 13.7 points per game or more. Godwin at 17.3, 13.7 for Evans, and then 15.5 for AB. So I do think a guy like Russell Gage might even be interesting with a guy like Godwin still working his way back from injury. So that's one. When you look at Gage, I think he's probably an underthought of name or a forgotten name, if you will. Wide receiver 62, that is, by way of reference, the Tyler Boyd, Calvin Ridley range of the position, DJ Shark. Right. Think about guys that can really overperform expectations. That would be one that if Godwin's a little bit slow back, there's still an opportunity for Gage. And there's an opportunity for Gage even if Godwin comes back. So, and you think about ways that this could really happen. You know, if we think Gronkowski is set to come back, if he doesn't, right? Like there's a lot of things that could break in the way of a wide receiver not named Mike Evans this year being really good, and that could be Russell Gage if something happens to Godwin, right? So that would be kind of the pitch there that I would say if you're looking for a deeper guy down the dial, Gage might make some sense. All right, Pittsburgh's up next with number four. What an abysmal performance given what they were expected. 43.3 expected points per game. They performed 36.6, which is actually 12th. 18.4% under expectation. That is 30th. Just abysmal. I'll give credit to Deontay Johnson. And 5th in terms of expected points per game, 8th in terms of actual points per game. You look at his yards per route run, 93rd percentile in expected points, expected yards per route run. He was 88th percentile and yards per route run. So I do think if you were to sort of look at this situation and to find a player who's potentially undervalued, almost in a, hey, it can't be worse, right? It can't be worse than is happening right now. Deontay Johnson at wide receiver 15 is probably the guy. So he's one that I'm interested in. I think the way things could change, and I guess if I were to say a big pause might be, well, maybe the structure of the offense changes. Okay, maybe that's what changes, right? They just couldn't do a ton of stuff with Roethlisberger. But listen, it was a design pass rate of 61.3%. That was only ranked 12th at the position. They did run a lot of plays. It was the fifth most plays at 65.1. Their pacing was really high at 26.6 in terms of actual seconds per play. That is about a second under, 1.2 seconds actually, under the average there. So that's top five in the league. So maybe if you were to sort of think about how does this go poorly, right? Maybe the defense is on the field a little bit more. Maybe their offense just isn't quite as fast and up-tempo and the like there, and you see a little slide, and you combine that with, you know, maybe instead of ranking, I don't know, 12th in terms of passing, they drop down to 21st, for example, and that would be like about a 3% decline in terms of your percentage, and all of a sudden that kind of fritters away some of that expectation, right? You could sort of see that happen. But I think by and large, the takeaway is Deontay Johnson's really is a good player. He's a good player. Again, a lot of, like, that might seem like a no shit Jordan type of statement, but I think as you look at this range, There's questions about a lot of guys, right? And just go from where he is, right? Below him. So below him, the guys below him, Godwin is at 20. Garrett Wilson's at 20. Godwin's coming off an injury. Garrett Wilson's a rookie. Burks is below at 19. He's got a median of 19. Pittman's got a median of 15, change of quarterback. Deontay Johnson, change of quarterback. DJ Moore's quarterback suck. Tyreek Hill, change of quarterback. Drake London is a rookie. So we're going up the list now. Diggs, he's set. DK Metcalf, change of quarterback. Devontae Adams, change of quarterback and change of team. Waddle brings in Tyreek Hill, but everything else, change of coaching staff. T. Higgins, everything's pretty good there. Debo Samuel, we'll see. A.J. Brown, change of team and quarterback. Cooper Kupp, everything stays the same. That's nice. C.D. Lamb, potentially a growth opportunity. Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase stay the same. Jefferson with a different coaching staff. So you start looking around, and there's no perfect situations in that range, or very few. And the very few that are there are like in the top six or seven. And maybe the point should have been made about Diggs there, which is probably undervalued if you're looking at security and the like there. So the point overall being that I think Deontay Johnson, maybe he's the, not necessarily a guy you would target in a startup draft, but maybe he's the tier, the person that you want to write in pencil at the end of a tier that you want to target, right? Sort of do it that way. Not saying, hey, I'm going to reach into the late wide receiver one range, but it's like, hey, I want to put a stop to this, and this Deontay Johnson, DJ Moore range makes a lot of sense to do it in. I think that's a big takeaway. I think Deontay Johnson's really a player from all the stats, and basically done it for 2 years now. If he looked like DK Metcalf, he would have a much higher RDP. So Dallas is next up at fifth in terms of expected points at 40.9. So Dak Prescott doing good work here actually as well, because 44.0 points per game is their actual performance. That is good for 7% over expectation and 10th versus expectation on the league. I think really the big thing that I would look at is, and we'll do a team-by-team breakdown of all these teams here in a different forum, so I'm not going full bore into this with these specific shows, but you start looking around and you think, okay, well, what's the, you know, what do you, what specifically on a guy like CeeDee Lamb, for example? And I think with CeeDee Lamb, about 75% of their dropbacks he ran routes on, and you just look ahead, he was over expectation in terms of yards per route run. His expected yards per route run was 1.84. He performed at 2.06. 21.7% of his routes he was targeted on, that's 81st percentile. 92nd percentile in yards per route run, that's pretty good. And that's 78th percentile in terms of versus expectation in yards per route run. So again, that's good as well. You need, in terms of total target share on the season, he missed, I believe it was one game. He missed one game, so you have to adjust for that as well. I just take the number on the entire season, but he was at 16.4% target share. That needs to go up, right? That needs to go up. Expected for 26 points per game and performed at 21 points per game. The volume for him needs to go up. Needs to be on the field more, and needs to be targeted more. 7.25 targets per game. It does not justify a wide receiver 3 in Dynasty. Green Bay is next with number 6, and I'll be fascinated to see how this one changes. 40.2 points per game in terms of expectation, 42.1 in terms of actual performance. That was 4.6 over expectation, so 4.6% over expectation. So good performance there. Listen, the target numbers for Adams are just crazy. 25.6 target share for him last year. There's a lot of questions about how it's going to be spread out. Probably going to be spread out evenly would be what I would say. And this is very much an AOD theory, right? If you just apply our normal logic or sort of our normal assumptions, you just take this from an AWARP perspective and think about, all right, a lot of our argument there is based on the fact that running back is very much a one-for-one type replacement situation. Wide receiver is very much not, right? So if Aaron Jones goes down, A.J. Dillon probably going to take on a good chunk of that. If Davante Adams goes down, there's three, four, five, six guys that are probably going to take over some of that target share, and that's really what I think we're going to see. So 25% of the targets in the offense are going to be spread around. You would expect, you know, Alan Lazard probably up from 9%, 6% target share on the season for Randall Cobb. Marquez Valdes-Scantling also gone, so that's basically like 33% combining him. And actually, Equanimee St. Brown is gone as well. So you're looking at like 35, 36% somewhere in that range of guys that are gone. In terms of just out of the receiving core, so you're bringing in Sammy Watkins, you know, Amari Rodgers maybe takes a step forward. Just talk about him being in better shape. Christian Watson, right? You know, I don't know if there's a Will Fuller shot or a Julio or someone like that. I'd be surprised if they were done, but we'll see. I think there are plenty of opportunities there for someone to really step forward, but it's probably not going to be a one-for-one type situation. You just can't replace Davante Adams. But high-powered offense, and again, it's probably spread around the running backs as well. You know, I was talking to some friends here over the past week or so and just talking about their offense, and it's like, okay, you could see, you know, if it's Rodgers throwing for 4,000 yards and 35 touchdowns, it's probably totally possible. But it's a situation where it's 8 for Lazard, you know, 5 for Cobb, you know, 6 for Watkins, right? 7 for Robert Tonyan. You know, you get a handful out of the backfield, and all of a sudden, like, that's kind of how the numbers blend together. It's not a huge supernova type season for a guy like Davante Adams. Number 7, and talk about affordability, the Los Angeles Chargers. 40.0 points per game expectation, 41.6 versus actually scored. So you're looking over performance there. So we like that. Good quarterback, Justin Herbert, 4% over expectation. Pretty solid performance overall there. Wide receiver 31 in RDP for Keenan Allen. Wide receiver 36 for Mike Williams. Two target guys there for sure. They were 9th and 21st in expected points per game last year. Performed 12th and 17th in terms of points per game. You know, listen, I think this is kind of the blend, right? You look at the offense kind of consolidates into three guys. And that is Allen, Williams, and Eckler. And you can kind of dig that. And that's kind of what my thought here would be between them. You look, and you're seeing Allen and Williams combining for basically just sort of 37% of the targets on the season. Again, they both played 16 games. So that's, you know, it's a little bit higher on a per game basis. And then you look also at Eckler, and he was at 11.9, and again, that was 16 games as well. So you look at those guys, it's about 60% or so in terms of target share in the offense on a per game basis. So really solid performance there, and I don't really love anyone else in the offense other than those three guys. So lots of expectation there, and like quite a bit at the price in particular. All right, last one here is Arizona, 39.5 in expected points per game, 40.5 in terms of actual points per game. I found some stuff in here really fascinating about Hopkins, and I think I may have – it's one of those things, Hopkins, this is a good reminder. This question is a really good – this is a really good reminder of don't let the narrative define a player for you. Actually look deeper. And with Hopkins expected for 30th in points per game last year, he performed at 20th. When you look in terms of points per route run, he was 91st. 66th in terms of expected yards per route run, he was actually 83rd in actual yards per route run, and he was 80th in terms of performance over expectation on yards per route run. DeAndre Hopkins was just put in a lesser situation and still overperformed it. So I think that, you know, if you get the bail opportunity on a guy like him, I think it's probably worth taking it maybe a little bit more. He's probably wasn't a guy that I would have been super, super on, but he's at wide receiver 46. There's Michael Thomas is there as well. I mean, that's a Jahan Dotson range. George Pickens is in that range. Renfro, Christian Kirk is in that range. And I just look like Christian Kirk's a good example of this. Which guy's going to make a difference, right? There's a really good chance that Christian Kirk never really makes a difference. I think Hopkins, all the indicators are he's still pretty good, right? And he's probably better than I even give him credit for. So that would sort of be my position there. That's almost a spot where, like, talking similarly like Deontay Johnson earlier, maybe it isn't a I'm going to target Hopkins in this range, but maybe it is a, all right, I am going to target Darnell Mooney, Mike Williams, Juju Smith-Schuster, Gabe Davis, Brandon Cooks, Allen Robinson, DeAndre Hopkins, and maybe mix in a younger guy or two, you know, and then it's Lockett, right? There's a four round range where you could say, all right, I'm going to double hit this tier, right? And I'm just going to, or even triple hit the tier, right? And that's how you can sort of think about it. That would sort of be how I'd position myself via Hopkins. Again, he's in a good range. It's tough to really pick between the guys, but you're saying, all right, listen, the plan is maybe two or three guys in this range. And I think that could be interesting. And again, you have to blend Hopkins. You have to understand you're going to lose some time via the suspension, but your play is probably more end of this year, and you can blend that together, right? And maybe you're treating him sort of as a flex option, and then as he comes back, right, he's more probably in your wide receiver range, but you're getting him at a flex cost, right? Wide receiver 46 is his median. That is a purely a flex cost of a wide receiver 4 to 5 type range. That is very much one that you can overperform there in a shorter sample size with him. So like that quite a bit as well. AJ Green was actually was 78th percentile in terms of yards per route run last year. So 13.5% target share, 5.6 targets per game. Again, that was a little bit different at different stages of the season. There was a lot of moving pieces. AJ Green was actually, I hate the word, but consistent in terms of his production over on the course of the season in terms of his opportunities, but the opportunity level just changed. So the other one is Rondale Moore. 40% of dropbacks he ran a route on, and that's only 14 games. So again, you're looking, that's at about 50% of the offense. That needs to go up for him to be relevant, right? He's got to run a lot more routes, which gives me some pause with the fact that they bring in Marquise Brown. They've got Hopkins looming. They have AJ Green, who I don't think he's just not going to go away. They have Ertz, right? They've got Max Williams coming back as well. Presumably he's healthy. And all of a sudden, like, this is a very crowded type situation. Don't really love all of that for a Rondale Moore breakout. And he is valued. He is, in terms of his valuation, 56 is his median, and he's behind all the guys that I just mentioned. He's sort of in the David Bell, Tyler Lockett, Alan Lazard, Alec Pierce, John Menchie range of the position, a little bit further down there into the 13th round. So probably avoiding him at the cost. I think maybe the lesson from that exercise in particular is be in that 8 through 12 range at the wide receiver position and not later. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. And until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.